Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday, August 29th, 2019. It's 9 o'clock a.m. We're in the Board of County Commissioners conference room gathered for our administrative workshop. All three commissioners are present. Community Corrections is up first with an amendment to contract for personal services between Josephine County and Northwest Professional Consortium to conduct a study of pre-sentencing assessments. Good morning, Nate.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, commissioners, for having me today. Before you is the contract amendment for a little over $100,000 we got in the 15 to 17 biennium. We contracted with NPC to conduct a study on the downward dispositional departures, specifically to the defendant assessment reports and their effectiveness. We went into contract with Yamhill County as well as Union County and us. And in the contract cycle, we had the lead researcher who was in Washington, D.C., got in a really bad car accident. And so NPC had notified us requesting that they get an extension on this particular contract before they are able to offer their deliverables and all of the research that they performed on the downward dispositional departures and defendant assessment reports. So we're requesting an extension of 90 days on this particular contract, and hopefully they can get the deliverables to us on the research within that time frame. So we're just requesting that
they do the 90 days, or is that what you came up with on the 90 days? I mean, they figure they could that they could have the stuff for you within 90 days?
Yeah. Yes, okay. They did.
Yeah. Has the CJC approved? Because I heard the biennium dollars are done December 31st, period.
Yeah, so CJC was on the conference call along with NPC and us, and because we're kind of taking the lead in the contract, we all worked together to come up with the time frame. And just update, Tim, who's the lead researcher, is back. He's okay, and we got some preliminary results actually yesterday from the research. So we're very confident that we're going to get the deliverables. They said.
So it's not 90 days from signing. Is the 90 days already rolling?
It's just an extension, yeah.
So yeah. It's actually only through the end of September?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I am... Does that even need to go to weekly business session?
We tried to get it signed by the liaison, but apparently...
The full board signed it originally, so you can't have the liaison sign over the full board, but it may not have to go. If you guys don't have objection, I'd entertain a motion to approve the extension of this contract and sign today.
Cool. Yeah. So I'd make that motion.
Yep. Second.
And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We'll get it signed today.
Thank you. Can I get the copy of it today?
After it's signed?
Yes.
We'll give you a copy right now.
All right. Yeah. Thank you very much.
So you got the whole crew back there.
I do.
Good morning. I just want you to know that I've been recruited for the dunk tank at the recovery.
Nice.
So
when and where and how much did it cost?
I don't know. You said that last year, but you didn't show up. So I'm just saying.
I'm going to call my son and have him get the glove out. We need to practice.
Then we're going to have to notice a meeting.
Yeah. We do have a quorum. Two balls, please. Here's $100. Tell me when it's gone.
Only have a half an hour, as many as you can try.
That's good.
Denise, you might be dry that day.
You know, I don't know how it is, Commissioner. You get nailed on that dunk tank thing more than anybody I know. I've known a lot of people that get stuck with it once, and then they avoid it the rest of their life.
She's a returning champion. That's right.
For a good cause, right?
It is. Well, and since our crew's here, they raise money for the recovery fair, and it's a good thing. The recovery fair, the courts come out, all the community partners, and just acknowledging this is what we want you working for. Keep going here. And if they're in recovery, then they're not out stealing to get the drugs.
Do you have former clients of yours that show up?
Not many. A lot of mine have rotated out, so I don't know as many people. The neat thing is I have former clients that now work at the recovery fair because they've gone clean so long that they're now mentoring other people. So
nice.
I'll see people there that I know.
Okay.
But sometimes there's somebody that goes by and they either look at you or they don't. Anything else to be named?
No, thank you for the support.
Thank you. Next up is HR. We have the Josephine County Safety Program Annual Report for 2018 and a request for job description approvals in IT, Finance, Community Corrections, and Public Health.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning.
Now, I heard HR was coming. We've got the party. This is pretty cool. So this is our safety committee.
Well, I am the chair for the safety committee.
Nice.
And Steve's our new, going to be our new safety person. And Michelle's our former safety person. So we
nice.
Decided to all hang together.
That's right.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Just for our minute taker, I don't even know if Nicole's back there. If you guys can all introduce yourselves for the minutes.
Michelle Simpson, HR specialist.
Lorna Jesse, Josephine County Public Works Senior Administrative Supervisor.
Steve Dobbs, Risk Manager, ADA Coordinator.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
I don't know that, I don't remember getting one last year, so this is the first safety committee report I remember getting as a commissioner. So I'm looking forward to...
That is true.
Or do we duck?
No, you don't need to duck. We have not had one for a few years. The safety committee needs to kind of get back on board with that, and so this will be our first one, and it's for 2018. And basically what happens is the committee has two different reviews that they do, one for the program, one for the committee, and then I put the findings together in a report, which you should have a copy of. And this is basically just informational for the board right now. We're hoping that down the road that if there are any formal recommendations that those get handled, you know, through JJ or through Steve, however that's going to work. There were a couple of findings for this particular report that I'd just like to give to you as information. The safety committee feels that there are a few things that they need to do to improve how the committee functions. Some of those things have already been taken care of by HR, CIS training, supervisor training. So the committee is moving forward with those items. The program, there are a couple things in the program that we wanted to bring to your attention. One of the findings was that the perception of the committee and of some of the employees is that there isn't a strong administrative management commitment to a safety purpose. And we'd like that to change. So that's something that we're going to have to work on in terms of kind of getting the different departments on board with safety.
Who is the safety committee comprised of now?
The safety committee, we have somebody from public health, we have somebody from SO, we have somebody, actually we have two somebodies from juvenile, mm-hmm. and we have me from public works. We have somebody from building maintenance.
And, I think and corrections, community corrections.
Corrections.
So, and then HR.
Right.
And reading about your program in here, do you have any department heads, elected officials, or management?
No.
So no,
nobody
that
JJ
supervisor.
Is our JJ's our,
is our
director.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no, other than that, no.
So nobody that's enforcing the policies that the people are inspecting is what you're saying?
Correct.
I think I heard Dan wanted to volunteer to be on it.
Or visit once
I'm here.
In a while.
You've got to wait till I'm gone to volunteer me for anything.
Oh, that's true.
I'm not gone very often, and there's a reason for that.
So one of the other things that was in the report under the safety program is that it would be one of the things that might be helpful in holding people's feet to the fire is having safety language in job descriptions. I know Public Works has submitted for the SAU work group job descriptions with that safety language in it. Something to think about for other job descriptions, and it is a two-part language, one for just employees and one for management and people that are in lead positions, not necessarily supervisors, but lead positions that are in the union.
So I'm curious, I know formerly as a former safety committee member, We reviewed incidences, injuries,
yes.
reports, such like that. But I never really felt there was much connection to, I mean, most of the information is redacted out. You just kind of see the details of what happened. But as far as where does it go after, what's the impact of us reviewing those incidences? And then once a month or once a quarter, you inspect another building and you document if anything's changed that was still there that's a fire hazard or a shelf attached to the wall or those kinds of things, safety concerns. But I'm just curious, as far as what I remember, it was not often the equipment that we're checking for in buildings was not often the cause of the things that were the safety things we're getting in incidences. We're inspecting buildings to make sure they're safe, but we're getting incidences because of things that happen on a truck or coming in and out of vehicle or wrestling an inmate in the jail or, those kinds of things. How does the safety committee, in looking at those, translate into us being safer?
So that's a good question. We just recently had some CIS training, and one of the things that they brought to the committee's attention was closing that loop. In terms of the incidences. So when we have an incident, we review it. If there are recommendations that we make or if there's more information that we need from those incidences, we'll send them back to the department. And closing the loop, meaning that we need to get that feedback back from the department back to the committee so the committee can finish reviewing any mitigations that potentially are needed to prevent those incidences from happening again in the future. So,
and it's kind of two-part. One we're struggling with is, just training in what does an analysis look like? What kind of information should there be on that analysis piece from the director, from the manager? Are we just saying, everybody backs into something once in a while, it's just a part of driving? Or are we truly looking at what was really happening? Had that employee been working for 12 hours? Was there a real stressful situation? What else is going on in that particular situation that we could identify to try and prevent from happening in the future? So that's one piece, is the training of what are we truly looking for and how can we use that? And then the other piece is the communication circle of being able to get it to the director of the department, to the other departments that might also be involved in it, and being able to bring that communication together to be able to make effective change or recommendations throughout the county.
Dan.
Do you utilize OSHA inspections at all?
What do you mean?
OSHA will come out, leave the ticket book in the truck, and come out and just assess, for instance, public works.
Yes.
They'll go through your shop and say, that isn't right, that isn't right. You need a cover on this switch box. And they'll go through the whole thing with a fine-tooth comb. It does a couple of things. First off, it alerts you to anything you'd have wrong that you just in the day-to-day, that cord shouldn't be curled up on the ground because somebody's going to trip over it. They do the obvious stuff. Needs a guard on the drill press, so on and so forth. And those are things that if you don't correct it, they're going to pop you for it when somebody gets hurt. You didn't have a guard on the drill press. You allowed the cord on the ground, so on and so forth. And they'll leave the ticket book at home, and they'll come out and assess the whole thing. It does two things. First off, gives you a list, a checklist of what you really need to correct. And the employee sees the OSHA guy walking around, and he goes, I get it. These people are really interested in my safety. Mm-hmm. OSHA doesn't always need to be the
compliance.
Heavy-handed, yeah. Here they come, I'm going to get fined, they're going to lock up my business. The other way around, they do offer the other side of it, leave the ticket book at home. We went through that at our shop, and I got fined for a no guard on a slitter that slits sheet metal. And I says, and where do you want the guard? So he explained how he wanted the guard, first off, and there was no guard available on any of the parts things. And if you put the guard on, you couldn't get the metal in it to slit it, so it was actually not a slitter anymore. He says, somebody could cut themselves on that. I said, it cuts sheet metal. So they can get a little over the top, but I appealed it and I won. So
with that.
But also it was signage, huge amounts of signage.
Right.
In the workplace, we are a safe working environment. Report anything that you see and get the employees involved and let them know that we're interested in their safety. It's kind of a message more than anything else. And then they start finding, But you don't want to get too heavily involved in it, because then you get the guy that bought backed into somebody and says, I'd have had a self-parking dump truck. I wouldn't have done that. So you got to kind of draw the line at some point.
Yes.
But it was really helpful to our company, because we went from a 2.23 modification factor, experience mod, but you understand that, down to a 0.8 in a matter of just a few short years.
Nice.
And it was all programs that we had to do. Right. And I had that OSHA guy come up, and he said, OSHA's in town. I said, good, I've invited him here tomorrow, and he'll be here tomorrow. Yeah. And he would come through and just basically tell us what was wrong and what we needed to. Because if you have a fire and your fire extinguisher didn't work because it wasn't checked out and it wasn't renewed, there, that leaves the whole organization wide open to why wasn't it.
And I think part of the issue is that the county doesn't have, I mean, public health safety concerns are different than public works safety concerns. Yeah. Alcohol and drug treatment in community corrections is maybe different than POs in community corrections, or, you know, Ryan's shop versus JJ's shop. You know,
but it's sounds like in the makeup of your committee, those are all
not everybody's represented. They got six members, it sounds like. That's not the 14 departments. Not every department is there. And I know as a new supervisor, before Nate was here, I remember calling OSHA to say, how can I find out what the OSHA rules are for my industry? And because we didn't have it as a countywide, and their only offer was, well, we'll come and inspect you, but we'll cite you if something's wrong. So of course I didn't invite them. They didn't offer to leave the ticket in the book when I called them.
Consultation will come out to any department.
And that's good to know, because whoever I called just offered to yes, and I was like, well, I don't want to put us in worse spots
to come out.
And I can also say, as a supervisor, a new supervisor, when I had my first injury of an employee, the director was gone, so I was fielding it. Of course it's when the director's gone. So you're fielding it alone as a new supervisor. All I could think of is, well, who's going to get in trouble for this? And if the supervisor's filling it out wrong, is the employee filling, you know, is the employee, you know, it was one of those things of the circumstance changed quickly and what do you do? And sure, we would have liked to have had this circumstance, but it kind of was one of those went haywire on the spot kind of moments. And I think that would be something maybe we could try to incorporate into new supervisor training as a county, as far as, if you have an employee incident, this is the forms that we need you to fill out. This is what we're looking for on those forms. This isn't a gotcha.
Exactly.
This is a we want to make sure if there's a training opportunity, we can come back and then offer the training. And then let's find the training that can go back and do that. But I know when I went through it, I didn't feel there was any explanation of the forms. There was not. And I know you've probably filled out many more. I haven't had to fill out as many. With the work crews, you have injuries a lot. Not that often. Sometimes.
We did incorporate that specific into the supervisor training.
Cool.
Yes.
But that would be something that I just know that it's like, what do you do and who's going to do it? But I actually had called OSHA because I had no idea. What are the regulations for OSHA for our industry? But is it something that the county or the safety committee should say, OSHA, we really want to know, should we invite you, and then it's not on each department to do it?
We can do it either way. I mean, the safety committee, I know Public Works and our safety committee, we use OSHA consultation all the time. I've got Lenny coming out doing presentations. I've got Paul Utterback coming out doing silica sampling out in the field. I mean, if I need them, I call them.
Yeah.
They will do that for any department, and all we have to do is pick up the phone, and you're calling consultation, you're not calling compliance. There's a difference.
Yeah.
And typically, if you call consultation, you have a 60-day grace period where they will not come out and cite you for whatever that particular inspection is for or that consultation is for. So if anybody wants to utilize OSHA, I mean, they can call me, they can call Steve, they can call Michelle, and we'd be happy to pick up the phone and say, hey, we need some help with whatever.
Well, it was a real turnaround in our company because the employees then knew. First off, they knew their responsibility. Employee has a responsibility when they get hurt. they have so many hours to fill out the paperwork, and it has to be specific with witnesses and so on and so forth.
Right.
They come in 3 weeks later and say, after going water skiing for 2 weeks, and say, yeah, I think I strained my knee climbing down off of a ladder. And I use that mostly because it's happened to me.
Mm-hmm. It happens.
Yes, and I got run up the flagpole more than once, and I stopped it. It wasn't real pretty, but I got it stopped. But you have to really work at it. And I think, you know, just like when I come out and speak at Public Works for 15 minutes or 10 minutes, I think I probably should lean part of that on the safety aspect. And you guys are doing a good job because you have, you know, you're accident free for a year. This many people, that's almost unheard of. That means a commitment from the employee to, you know what, I'm going to go put that belt on. That's safety. I'm going to put on my vest if I'm out in traffic and so on and so forth. Just the little things.
It also shows that management is committed.
Exactly.
As well.
That we have we are aware of it, and we have that commitment.
I like your example you gave with your company where, you know, it's here, and then, you know, through using consultation, the employees are being aware that.
Yeah.
And that's really what safety culture is about. So that what you did, and it's a great model, is your employees automatically knew where safety is set with you.
Exactly.
So that really dictates the tone. And having that awareness and safety consultation with Oregon OSHA is a good thing. There's a lot of myths about it. People think, well, I don't want to invite them out. I worked for Oregon OSHA as a senior safety enforcement officer. I was the mean guy with the ticket book and the badge. And
I knew I needed a duck.
You're the guy.
Yeah.
So, I thought I recognized
you. So the only reason I bring that up is that there's real integrity between the consultation side, as Lorna was saying, and the enforcement side. They don't communicate. You know, so it's a lot of one fear with organizations is, well, I don't want consultation to come out. They'll go back to the office, tell enforcement, then they'll pop out. It doesn't work that way. There's really solid integrity, and I always recommend consultation as a great resource to have a set of eyes that's not familiar with the organization looking at those things you were talking about, physical, you know, practice, task, how are they doing them. So it's definitely a resource that has been used by Josephine County, and we would continue to look at that.
We had the OSHA inspector just go out to the job site and says, they're on the job today, you just drop in.
Yeah.
See what they're doing out there on the job site. See if they're, you know, whatever they're doing. And they appreciate it at the end of the day. And another thing I did in my company that most people will not do in their companies, I shared the books. Mm-hmm. So this is what it affects. You think that workman's compensation insurance is just, the boss got to pay it, don't worry about it. But when I got a 2.23 modification factor, and mine's $14 a hundred, times 2.23 runs up to roughly $34 a hundred I had to pay safe to stay in business with 29 employees. You do the math.
Yeah.
And I said, I can't afford to pay you more if I'm giving it all to safe because Danny, what's his name, twisted his knee stepping off the fourth rung of a ladder. Because I didn't, and I supplied all the rungs on the ladder. He just chose not to use them. That was his choice that affects you at home. So therefore, and you bring that connection together, and then everybody starts, you know what, I'm going to be a little safer. I don't want to be that person that risks my fellow workers' raise. So I think revitalizing the safe committee, huge.
Yes.
Huge.
I agree.
Especially to the employees involved, and that's company-wide. Well, I don't care whether they're in public health or what they do.
Well, I'm curious what would be the best help, because looking at your paragraph about, I remember, nobody wants to draw the short stick or straw or whatever to be on safety committee, and it's like, okay, I got my year in, and now it's somebody else's turn, and it's not that you don't enjoy going around and seeing other departments, it's trying to get it scheduled with those other departments, and when are they available, and when can you get in that space, and are you really looking at something that matters, and is that something, you don't have the history of that building, of what was checked last time, so you kind of feel like you're starting from scratch every time anyhow. And it didn't feel like it was meaningful. What good does the inspections do if you see that box? I remember that last year. Or, you know, something like that. So
it's changed.
It
has changed. I mean, it's amazing how, with the inspections, when you go out to those other departments, the whole 18 inches, 24 inches from the ceiling and storing stuff on top, that's really changed over the past couple of years because we keep telling them, you can't do that. Fire inspection comes through, the fire department comes through, you're going to get cited for that. we're trying to keep people safe, and there's a reason why we're telling you to do what you need to do, and people are coming around. We're seeing things change in the departments. It's just trying to get management commitment to say, okay, we've got a safety committee. We need somebody to be on the safety committee. Yeah, if you're not going to volunteer, then we're going to have somebody sit regardless. And it's a learning. It's a learning experience for whoever sits on the committee.
And I'd like to say that the folks that are on the committee are very dedicated. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that would be very helpful is for the folks that are on the committee to be supported so that we've got several that come in before or after shifts because they're in the head count of where they work. And so they are coming in before or staying later or whatever it is to do the inspections and that kind of thing. And I just feel like that's above and beyond what they should be asked to do. And so to be able to do the inspections during their scheduled shift would be huge. To have the department support so that we can get someone from each location onto the safety committee would be incredible, because it wouldn't be as much work for the folks that are on the committee, kind of spread it out some more. And to have that person be able to go back to those departments and say, you know what, this is what I learned today about gloves or about why this is so important or why do we have what's on the checklist, those types of things. So it starts those good conversations in the departments also.
Yes, sir.
I use this an awful lot because it comes into play in my recreation. But the National Hot Rod Association, they have rules and rules and rules and rules and rules. That seatbelt's outdated, got to get a new seatbelt. Well, you just want to sell seatbelts. No, every rule in the NHRA, everyone, top to bottom, the whole book is written in someone's blood. Mm-hmm. So exactly. You're going to wear that helmet when you get below this amount, this elapsed time, because you know what? I'm not going to scrape your cranium off of that track at the end.
Exactly.
I am not going to do that. And I won't let you put me through that, so therefore this is a rule. And it's written in someone's blood. And I think a lot of your safety regulations, especially in public works and facilities and stuff, where you're working with tools, power tools and trucks and so on and so forth, they're all written in someone's blood. And they need to be, and you say, well, that's a dumb one. You say, oh yeah. And the guy that got really hurt and is now on workman's comp for the rest of his life, after it happened, he probably didn't think it was quite such a dumb rule, did he? Like leather gloves when you're working with a grinder or whatever.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, just keep it up. It's probably one of the underrated, understated committees that the county should have. And I appreciate you bringing this back and
move forward. Thank you for hearing us.
It's so important.
Yes,
sir. Well, Dan has made a compelling case to be the liaison. I would volunteer to do that because I know you're busy. So just want to throw that out there. But also, I think if you can't get each department to be represented, then you got to bring in like a rotation of this month you got to come, and we're going to talk about what your concerns are, so that each department gets some
voice.
Exposure,
yeah.
Right? Without the club, but more of the
right.
The yeah. Carrot where you're all, hey, come in and let's see if we can help. Because, it may be difficult to get someone from each department to show up every time. So one way or the other.
But the rotation would also let them know that they also are included in the safety.
Sure. And then just seeing safety. Part of that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, we can make it happen, but that's still a lot
is
of folks.
Is it just the managers? Or?
Well, yeah. I don't know.
I like the rotation idea. That gets people just, I think the department heads, once a year they're going to see a suggestion.
Yeah.
The concern with the rotation is you don't have to
just
see somebody learning what you're doing. In your first meeting, you're sitting there going, what the heck are you talking about? And so it is definitely one of those things that rotation, quite frankly, it as beneficial as that time that you're looking at those reports, you're understanding what you're reading, what you're seeing, making recommendations. That comes with the experience of being on the committee.
In my opinion, it would be once we get a solid committee.
Mm-hmm.
Then having folks coming in and getting that knowledge would be beneficial no matter where they work, right. Definitely. The chaos in the beginning of trying to get our committee nice and solid, it might be a bit much.
It takes about a year for a committee member to really
mm-hmm.
get their
yeah.
feet under them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and that was all I had to commit to, so then I was done.
Right.
I think it's a 2-year commitment now.
Is it now?
I think so.
Okay. They changed that after.
The county is asking for a 2-year commitment.
But if you had a safety person from each department, if it was department head or not, or someone just near, then you'd have a point of contact. They can come and ask you questions. And there'd be a chain of command besides just the manager, whether it's the same person or not, depending upon department size.
Would you guys object to an email being sent to department heads just encouraging participation? And
no, but I think we need to bolster the committee to give it what they're asking for.
Sure.
Whatever that looks like. Like I said, I think having one of us on there would do it. A big step in the right direction.
The last Tuesday of the month, 8:30.
8:30? 8:30 in the morning, last Tuesday of the month, unless it's an inspection month. We do inspections once quarterly. And so those months we don't have the meeting. We do the inspections instead.
It's the last Tuesday of the month when we do our KJO thing, so we don't have a 9 o'clock meeting?
Correct.
Oh, that would work out
so
well.
So I think, you know, because we're rotating the KJO thing, so mm-hmm. we're
we
not...
We are at 9:30 at KJO on the last... Fourth Tuesday of the month, not last. Fourth.
Okay. Not the city-county update meeting also?
That's at 11.
Okay.
Right, that's at 11. So I think that would be... That's probably as good as you're going to get on it for...
Awesome.
Nice job. Great job. I don't know who picked it out, who threw the dart.
So I'd be willing to work with you guys to draft an email that we can send out just encouraging and a reminder of and kind of just going from there.
Start setting the tone for the
Has Sarah got rid of that Fitbit thing yet?
Got rid of the Fitbit.
Oh, I'll follow up with you.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I haven't got that.
I donated one back.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, we decided to walk that one off.
A drawing of who signs up, you know, so... All right, well, thank you guys for the
report. Thank you very much.
See you later.
I assume Gigi's coming up for part two.
Yep.
Job descriptions in IT, finance, community corrections, and public health.
Yes.
Holy mackerel, no wonder the house is full.
All right, so let's start with the easy ones first. I like easy. So first, we can start with the... criminal justice data analyst. This is a position that was budgeted. It's a new position, but before we can move forward with recruitment, we just needed a job description. This is going to be a position that works with IT and with the corrections department managing their computer software, and then also basically manipulating the data in the software to provide information both for LIPSTIC and for community corrections.
Not LIPSTIC.
LIPSTIC. That thing.
Whatever.
That group.
The guy was mispronounced.
Lipsticks for a pig. Lipsticks is the coordinating council.
It's the same thing.
Well, no, but this is one. This is an example that of why I struggle with the language of we budgeted a position, now we're doing a job description, now we're going to go recruit. This is a position that may have been budgeted, but we're requesting the funding through the GRI grant process. It's not been approved yet. We're hoping to get it, but it's not approved yet. So just to say it's budgeted doesn't necessarily mean we've vetted the funding source. And so I totally I fully support this position, and we've gone over it in LIPSTIC and all that kind of stuff. But only because I'm on LIPSTIC do I know it's a JRI fund. And so I just want to point this out to you guys, because just putting a position in the budget doesn't mean we vetted it or looked at where's the funding source or where it's coming from. So to be told we just have to approve the job description and we're good to go, that's my struggle with the system. It's not anything you've done wrong. It's just the struggle with the system versus mid-year we actually get those conversations. Okay, what's the justification for the position? Where's the funding for the position? Where's the other stuff? To say it's just budgeted, we don't go through that process. So, and what happens if this isn't approved in JRI funding?
So, this position originally had nothing to do with the, I'm going to mispronounce it, the LIPSTIC.
LIPSTIC.
That group, initially, it wasn't working with that group, and it was budgeted and funded. And with the LIPSTIC coordinator person changing, ultimately, we shared a position between Josephine County and Douglas County, and that person has now gone 100% to Douglas County, and so that changed.
But that was a three-year grant through CJC that wasn't us funding it, so it may have been a position assigned to us, but it wasn't our employee.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a county employee at all. It was funded. It wasn't a county employee at all. So with that position leaving, Lipsick looked at, can we do some of that duties within Community Corrections Department? And so we looked at this position and said, would this position be able to fulfill some of those needs? And there was some crossover in duties with what they were looking for and the Lipsick coordinator needs. So that's why that goes in. And there is some influx on how will it be funded, because it may be funded partially through some money through Lipsick, but it was originally funded another way. So if that fell through, there still is funding for this that is in the budget.
So is this, I'm just curious, originally when this came before Lipsick, and Nate, you could probably answer, we were talking about doing a part-time in IT and a part-time in your department for the sake of data analysts. And then when we learned that the Lipsick coordinator was going away, we talked about just trying to find, so it'd be fully in your department, and it'd be the data analyst and Lipsick coordinator. Is that correct?
No, the discussion at the last Lipsick was to have two of those positions, so it would be an IT data analyst that would help with data dashboards for the state as well as locally, and then in addition to looking at contracting out the Lipsick halftime position that's vacated by Melissa.
Contracting out with?
We're hoping to do an RFP for that particular position, so that's so something that we...
That wasn't the conversation at Lipsick,
right.
So that's changed since.
That's something that we have to discuss with the board. So.
Okay.
But the genesis of the change was from the conversation of resignation from Melissa. That's why we started those conversations. And it was like literally the day before the Lipsick last met.
Yeah, but when we met at Lipsick, the discussion was to keep the Justice Reinvestment application and put it to you instead of paying Douglas County so that it would be in-house, not contracting out. The contracting out language is new to me today.
Right. So that needs to be another conversation.
Okay.
About what this is proposing on the agenda.
So what is this position in comparison? Because my understanding at the last Lipsick meeting is we were going to take that data analyst and kind of just instead of having IT part. So you're saying it'd be two people still, and instead of having... All right. Because it's not clear in here with this chart. I'm trying to figure it out with the way it's in our packet. Of what exactly we're changing or funding.
I mean, the role of this job is to manage the computer system.
There was never a full-time data analyst need. It was a part-time.
It was basically half of the job is to manage the software. Because it you know, software, you always think you buy software and it just, la-la-la, it works great. But you have to constantly massage it to keep it running properly.
Is this the update of the treatment software that we're getting away from? Okay. IT was involved when we first went to the one. Mm-hmm. I know there was some question about that, but they were involved early on, but everybody's going away from that one software. So this is to make sure there's another IT person to keep that software going. So they're going to be housed in IT?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then they're also going to be running the data to give the answers for the other stuff?
Yes.
Okay, but still funded through JRI, partially, in the application.
Yes.
So, and we won't know until November?
Likely October.
Okay, funds distributed, but we have the money in the account to cover it until it's approved through the grant.
Angie?
Yes, but in all likelihood, recruitment and hire and background and all that, but it won't start till October anyway.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just kind of trying to get my head wrapped
I think
around.
You're helping all of us do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So some background. The state required treatment agencies to get electronic medical documentation, and when we first went through it, I was in there, and then Angie and Denise and a couple of the IT guys are trying to figure out if we go with this software that Choices and some of the other places went with. But really, it was kind of us internally trying to figure it out. And hours and hours and hours of trying to figure out how to use this software and getting it up, and then the billing was a whole different thing once it was up and running. So I know that at that same time, IT was kind of being crunched to restructure and minimize and kind of challenge. So as we're adding more to IT's job, I can tell you it does take a lot of time to get software up and running. And that what I'm curious about, though, is the amount of time to get it up and running versus ongoing. And is that necessary ongoing versus just the initial install? What's the benefit of the long-term job versus once the install is done, what's that person do?
Would you like me to adjust that?
Yes. Probably up here so the mic can get you.
John McCafferty, IT director. One of my past jobs was system admin for the mental health department when it was with the county. And my job was to run the enterprise behavioral health software, CMHC at the time. It did the scheduling, the billing, and the report writing to the state for mental health encounters. This is exactly what Corrections is going to be doing with a smaller population. It was more than a one-time, full-time job at Mental Health just because of the number of providers, mental health providers, and the scheduling. So there is, but in Corrections, there's going to be, you know, several treatment providers. There's going to be a smaller number of clients. So it's not a full-time job, but it is an ongoing job. Billing is a constant issue. You always get rejections from a billing cycle.
But that's not IT that fixed billing. It's often the coding that was entered by an individual practitioner. Every doctor's office deals with billing issues.
And I can tell you an IT person will probably do a better job of setting it up and ongoing problem solving than a person who doesn't have that background. Mm-hmm. The actual electronic submission of bills, the handling of the bills after they're rejected and resubmitting them, typically, just like you say, takes a file to be manipulated. Reports always change. The state always makes new requirements. So there will always be a role for IT in keeping the software up and running. The assessor devotes at least a full-time position to the report writing out of their system. Public Works has at least a full-time position working with their cost accounting system for public works issues. I think it's going to take at least a half-time position all the time for treatment at Corrections. And then the other half of the time is just going to be pulling in sheriff's data with DA's data and making that into some kind of sense to respond to state reporting requirements and to enhance services to the citizens. So having someone in there writing those reports and coming up with results bolsters every argument we have for funding.
Mm-hmm. No, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So we hope to have the funding through the grant. If the grant doesn't go through, do we still go through with the position?
That's our submission, yes. And I believe before JRI money was ever involved, this was a full-time position proposed to do exactly that, half-time supporting the new software that replaces Echo, half their time providing data warehouse reporting abilities for all of the public safety departments. Does that sound right?
Yes, sir.
Any other questions?
No.
Okay.
I appreciate knowing more about it, though.
I think hinging it on JRI funding, because, like I say, you didn't always have JRI funding. When you have it, then do you find out the importance of what you're doing now? JRI funding went away. You're going to find money somewhere else. I don't care if you get it out of the general fund to fund this.
JRI has become the big funder from
I get
the state,
it.
And it's
yeah.
a six-year.
I get it, but it also could
away.
Go away tomorrow. So whatever we're putting into position A, make sure it's important enough that if JRI went away, that we would still be able to fund it from another source.
Yeah, it sounds like that's the plan.
Yeah, come on up, Nate.
Yeah.
I just wanted to give the board kind of an update on the politics behind the data. And there was a recent article from Portland. Multnomah County is receiving $5.4 million in budget cuts this biennium, which sparked a whole lot of response from our northern partners. And one of the criticisms that the governor has is that state agencies, specifically community corrections that are funded from the state, are not as transparent as they could be. And I think that's from data reporting is what she's referring to. So what we'd like to do with this position, you asked about once we get the platform up and running, either through the two agencies that we're looking to partner with, once we get that up and running and then ongoing maintenance for reporting purposes, what are they going to do? Well, they're going to do a whole heck of a lot in terms of the integration of dashboards, the replacement of CMIS, which is the state database for all of our outcome measures for community corrections. There's all kinds of things that this particular position can do to help us tell our story and be more transparent in the words of the governor. So that's what the other part of this position would be dedicated towards. So.
And Multnomah is probably upset that they got cut and Josephine didn't.
We don't boast about it, but they might be.
But you're pretty proud of it. Yeah. But that's because of a good portion of it's because of reporting, accurate reporting. And what are you doing with the money down here?
Right.
And I think that's what they're talking about. You know, you account for everything you're doing, and it's working, and the data to back it up. That yeah, we're funded. That you funded this program. And these are your results. This is the deliverable. And if you can't show them that because you don't have the data, or you've got the data but you haven't revealed it. That should be the first thing you send in is your good deliverables, not the last thing. They shouldn't have to ask for that.
Right. Yeah, and the current problem that we're having right now with all of the outcome measures is that they're in various databases. There's various reports, I mean, from Excel to dashboards on CJC and local data that's being inputted. So this is kind of an initiative to bring all of those data points together and then make formalized reports that anybody can access, including the public. So there is just transparency from bottom to top and top to bottom.
Any thoughts? So we don't actually have that job description in front of us, correct?
Community corrections program.
I'm seeing leads case and specialist. Normal case specialists and leads, but
a program supervisor,
but I haven't come across this one yet. Sorry, I'm scrolling through 41 pages here trying to.
Well, then it turns to public health.
And then senior account finance.
And you should have criminal justice data analyst.
Criminal justice data analyst.
Okay, page 34.
Just haven't gotten there yet.
So who do they actually 34. Work for?
They're going to be housed in IT.
Oh.
But they'll do the work mostly with new corrections.
And if I may, there's a couple of different challenges that Community Corrections has. One being the unavailability of office space. So that's one of the reasons why we're requesting that be housed under IT. The other piece of it is IT services and data analyst positions are not in our wheelhouse in terms of expertise. And I think John's shop is much more suited for training and ongoing.
Well, just the interaction between employees, they get over to your place when everybody to talk to because nobody would understand what they were saying, but you leave them in IT.
Oh, they'll talk to them.
That's right.
Well, hopefully some of us make ourselves clear.
IT comes in, it's like, oh, don't talk to
gotta
these
bring
people.
An interpreter.
No, they're all in it. No, I think you're right, and just as technical issues come up, having technical people around you to support you is wise. I know we still have to figure out space location of departments and where, you know, we may just have to build another floor on this building and give you access or something. I don't know. But we haven't figured out where everybody's going either. So you're not the only one looking at space constraints. So anyhow.
But this is the year to talk about it.
Okay.
yeah.
Anybody have an objection to that one moving forward?
No.
No, it looks good.
Okay.
So while we have Nate here, we can talk about
thanks, John.
The restructure of his department.
And all these other job descriptions that are all his but one. Two.
Yeah, so we have also one public health and one finance.
Yeah.
Those are the easy ones. This is a little bit
except
more.
Those two are right in the middle, so it's kind of like... All right, so which one are you starting with?
Well, let's just talk about the big structure, and then we'll look at the...
So back
the
to the
flow
chart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There it is.
So one of the things that predicated changing is the board stealing his position. And in looking at the alternative custody programs.
You're welcome.
Yeah. how Nate would like that to look is he really liked the idea of more folks... at the bottom end of the chart instead of at the top end of the chart.
Mm-hmm.
So what he'd like to do is not fill that position, give oversight of that program to one of his existing supervisors, unify the job description between his program supervisors, and then add some lead workers to fulfill some of the administrative burden that is lost by the elimination of the CAPS program supervisor.
Do you have a program supervisor over field services? Did you?
No, that's part of this presentation.
Got it.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the flowchart going, yeah. That was me. It went away. Okay.
Yeah, well, they haven't filled it. The board approved it some time ago. Mm-hmm. They just haven't filled it.
Well, I know Scott went from that role to deputy director, mm-hmm. and then they didn't fill that level.
But they actually got the board to approve adding that position. He just hasn't filled it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you actively recruiting? Or?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Once if the board approves this, then we'll be actively recruiting.
Yeah.
So essentially, you're going to go from 4 to 3
mm-hmm.
programs. In every program, you'll have a supervisor, and it looks like a lead.
Mm-hmm.
And the leads are still in the union, but mm-hmm. and they don't do discipline, but they're kind of the guiding advisor, and then all the worker bees.
Yeah.
Not that these ones aren't worker bees, because you guys are all worker bees.
Yeah. And the other thing that he wanted to put in place is have an opportunity for growth. So within his treatment division, you'll have treatment counselors. If they have their KDAC 1, they're a treatment counselor 1. Once they get their KDAC 2, which is enhances their ability to do more advanced skills, they go up a little bit, and then the lead is above that. And then they also have a case specialist and case specialist lead that allows people to have opportunities for growth.
So, question, you have a case specialist in each program, but you only have case specialist leads in one of the programs. So are they the leads over the case specialists in all the programs?
Which program are you referring to?
All three programs show a case specialist at the bottom. In the four mm-hmm. divisions of the three programs, but under, I'm going to assume, the administrative custody alternative programs branches, you have leads
mm-hmm.
that are case specialists,
mm-hmm.
But in the other ones you have lead officers or lead counselors, but not lead case specialists.
Yeah.
So do the case specialists over in treatment answer to the lead case specialist in the other one, or do they just answer the treatment branch?
No, they'll be assigned to that specific division.
Okay.
So they'll the lead counselor would answer to Denise.
Okay.
And
it was just based on something I heard you say about they'll have lead case specialists, and I'm just making sure.
But not in the treatment division, because the leads in the treatment are going to be counselors.
Okay. Interesting. I think it makes sense as far as the flow of work and the help. How many different positions is this adding based on?
It'll be 2 FTE in addition, and I think it's important to note that this will be no cost to the county, and we're getting additional funds from the CCA, the Community Corrections Allotment Funds,
We're also getting more funds from the Measure 57 funds from the state because of the formula and percentage. So this will not cost the county any money. In fact, it will streamline efficiency and effectiveness in our agency. So we're hoping that you ratify this proposal.
Well, you're a zero general fund department anyhow. Yeah. So if it's not coming from another source, it...
Yeah, I just wanted to emphasize that we're not requesting the county contribute any more than they already are.
It's still internal.
I'm the liaison,
yep.
And we've talked about this, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
First off, I have great confidence in Nate and his decisions to run his department.
Okay.
Yep. Well, and that's where I'm at, because this is not my world.
It's not my world either.
Clearly, you've been there before and had a long look at it.
I just run out of parking lot bumpers with people's names on it. I don't know where we're going to park. That's parking place we have, because everybody's got a title. I don't get that, but that's fine. You understand that. I don't understand this flow chart.
And I doubt you'd lead us astray.
And I probably, I've got great confidence and faith in Nate and his department.
Well,
and
your department's been
2.5 years. I haven't seen anything wrong yet, and I'm liking that.
Well, and well recognized by the state as being a high functioning agency. So
thank you.
We want to make sure you got what you need to do that. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
So all the program supervisors will have the same title, regardless of which division they're overseeing?
So, except for the world of POs. POs are different.
Except in the language of this, it says reclassify parole probation program supervisor to community corrections program supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones say eliminate the position, and it has it under the community corrections program supervisor. And there's only a job description for the community corrections program supervisor. So on the chart, it is stating that all three will have the same job description.
I think the chart probably has the wrong title for the PO supervisor.
Okay.
It's PO supervisor.
It needs to not reclassify under that chart then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the PO supervisor is its own job description, but then the other two programs will have the same job description under community corrections program.
So it'll have a director, deputy director, four leads, and then the POs. How many POs are there?
14.
So it's the 14,
yeah, 14
after the
POs or 15 you'll have plus the leads.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So 18 total.
So it's, you're going to end up... Okay.
So the other thing that I'd like to bring to the board's attention is compression issues that we're receiving. So the POs, they're represented by FOPO, and they have a very strong bargaining team, and they are one of the highest paid entities within the county. So that creates compression issues for us, and that's one of the reasons why we didn't fill the supervisor position, because they were classed at an NU18, which if we were to hire at that level, they would make less than the vast majority of who they supervise. So that's one of the reasons why we're requesting this NU position for the supervisor, to go to an NU18 or from an NU18 to an NU20 at the very least. And then I also want to point out that the NU20 position, they only have one step, which is the top step, step 9, that makes more than the current lead PO positions at a tune of $200 a month. The other issue that we're running...
But those people have been there 20 years.
Correct.
So they've learned earned their steps. If somebody gets paid less down the road because they're starting in a role...
Yes. And,
well, I think
and
we already approved that when we brought that forward. We just haven't filled it.
Okay. So one of the other things that we want to keep in mind for our agency is just the succession planning philosophy, getting people developed from inside, and also incentivizing their continued development throughout their career, so we can have people that can go from one spot to the next spot in terms of leadership and development. We've already gotten some things put in place in terms of certifications from the state with basic, intermediate, advanced, supervisor, management, and executive roles. The other thing that we have for the treatment side is KDAC 1, 2, and 3. On the other end, with the non-certified folks that don't have the the oversight, if you will, of another agency that's going to credential them, is that we want to incentivize their growth as well. So in Angie's position for overseeing CAPS and the administrative functions, we want to incentivize those folks. So we've contracted with Ethos, with a lifelong learner program, with development and leadership, so those folks also have an ability to move up, if you will, in terms of their responsibilities and their leadership and their capability. So that's the philosophy that we want to keep in mind for our agency, to just invest in our people and get them to take on more leadership roles at whatever level. And if anybody leaves, we can slide those folks into
not panic. So you've already got somebody that can do the job.
So just to give you a comparator, in 2005, when I went to Community Corrections, it was Community Justice at the time, and the director was over adult parole and probation and juvenile. The deputy directors were over the individual divisions. So juvenile had a deputy director, Community Corrections had a deputy director. That deputy director directly supervised the 12 POs. And then there was a manager over treatment and a manager over the alternate programs. And then juvenile had their side. So it's in the 14 years, it's gone from a direct supervisor to 12 people to leads, program supervisor, a deputy director, and then a director over one and a director over the other. So those just showing the change in 14 years from where it was to where it is. I don't think this is wrong. The budget, the programs have all expanded and changed, but just to kind of give you the history of where it went from to where it's at today, that all those layers weren't here 15 years ago. And it's probably better because of the whole scope of supervision and ability to train and do more when you have less people you're supervising. So...
Yeah, and if I may, the rate of our population in which we're responsible for, we're at right around 1,200 people now. So that's a very large number to manage. And
we were there about 11 years ago, too. We went down for a while and then came back up.
Yeah, so we are trying to make sure that every box is checked, mm-hmm. and every T is crossed, every I is dotted, because we have a really high stakes risk, and it is it's imperative that we make sure that our people are competent. We're continuing to invest in them in terms of their professional growth and making sure that we're supervising effectively. So we are seeing an upward trajectory in our population. I don't think it's going to slow down. In fact, we're only funded this biennium for under 1,100 people to supervise, and we're currently knocking on the door at 1,200. I think we had 1,197 just this week. Our population report came back. So there's a couple of things that are going on that we want to make sure that we're effective and efficient in terms of managing that growth, but it would be very much appreciated if you would support our proposal here. And again, I wanted to emphasize too, I don't think I got this point out, that the compression, if you do ratify this particular proposal, the compression for the field services side is still an issue, because our deputy director would likely make about the same amount as the NU20 position once they get to their supervisor, or excuse me, their mid-management certification.
Do they talk around the water cooler about that?
Do they talk about it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, do employees talk back and forth about how much they get made?
Every bargaining, they talk about it.
I think people know, because it's a public deal, but I just wanted to make sure that there is compression that needs to be.
But it'll be compression with the supervisor going in, then the deputy director, and then the director. Compression always works that way.
And it's really based off of the FOPO compensation packages. So just know that.
We can expect that.
Yeah. Well, sounds good.
Yep. I'm in favor.
Okay. Thank you.
So structurally looking at it, do you... you kind of have a summary here that's... the email to JJ from Nate. Um, So the difference overall, budget-wise, is about an impact of $150,000, but the budget, because of the increases, because of the percentages, covers that.
Yeah.
Safe to say?
Yeah.
Okay. I should get on a different note to let you know that your Ferguson house has been all over Facebook in the last week and a half.
Oh, no.
And not in a bad way. It's just simply about looking at that it's a historic building and that what it looks like now compared to what it traditionally looked. Mm-hmm. And so there's been lots of conversations of who's in charge and who's responsible and something about a bear on the roof and all this other kind of stuff. But it appears that from the historic photo, the square on the left was originally a wraparound porch that was walled in and made into a room and such like that. So all the historic people that are digging up history in Grants Pass have been focusing on the house. And so it's been interesting to see the dialogue. And so in case you get some people contacting you, that's where that's coming from.
Yeah, we'd be happy to facilitate a tour.
I'd be curious what it looked like under the stucco, but...
I don't think you want to look at it. Yeah, don't make it.
So in case people are getting a hold of you, that's where it came from. Because it was a question of who's running it and who's doing what, and they were just looking at historic and posting pictures of originals versus now.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm not going to challenge the job descriptions individually. I'm okay with that. And I think the overall thing makes sense. And we'll deal with the consequences and the fallout. Does your compression issues deal with the budget still?
We would have enough money to explore options to deal with the compression if the board decides to go that route.
Well, it hasn't been brought to us yet. So.
Yeah, I mean, for today, that's not what we're addressing. We're just looking at
the that's
for today.
Down the road.
Will you double check the program supervisor description? Because based on the chart, it says all three are getting combined to the one.
Yeah. Well, I know for a fact that PO supervisor is different.
We can change that one. Yeah, that language.
Cool. So finance and.
Yeah, so
WIC
just two
still?
More. So WIC, breastfeeding peer counselor, is an existing position. We're actually going to post this, but they just need to update the job description. It hadn't been updated in quite a while. So it's a pretty easy, there isn't a huge substantive change to it, but it just needed to be updated. And then the senior accountant in finance was something finance brought to the board a few weeks back, and so we just finalized the job description to codify that decision.
So is it like modernizing the job description? Or
for the...
Is that what, for the WIC? Because there's a lot of
There's nothing
changes.
Original except job impact.
So part of it is the person who updated it just copied and pasted off of another document, which made the track change one really hard to read. But it isn't hugely different. It's just different language. The old one was a little clunky in how it was worded, and so it's just making it... a little easier to understand what the position does, and it also makes it clear in the new job description that the peer counselor isn't seeing WIC clients, which was a little bit ambiguous in the old one because they're not allowed to. They work within the WIC program, but they're not allowed to be a certifier within the WIC program.
Okay, I have to ask. Breastfeeding peer counselor.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make it assumed. Nate, are you sure you don't want to be in on this one? I mean, I see you trying to sneak away.
I was even with you.
I mean, I'm going to let you grace
y'all
want
to talk about
Thank
that's
you,
fine.
Nate. But just the timing, that was, sorry, it was just too good
worth,
to pass
worth
up.
Worth a note, yeah.
Michael, I should... put you on the hot spot.
Where are we going, Nate?
Right back here, sir.
Take your red face back there, would you?
I am fine with this. I'll talk about breastfeeding all day. Lake Weber Public Health.
So I'm just curious. It's breastfeeding peer. So one breastfeeder to another is a peer.
Mm-hmm.
Counselor, but they're not allowed to talk to clients?
They're not allowed to be WIC certifiers. So there's a line in the sand between the people who certify for WIC, which administer healthy food benefits, and the breastfeeding peer counselor.
So it's not that they can't meet with WIC clients. That's how they're getting access.
They can't do it as a WIC certifier.
No, that makes sense. Different job title. But you said they couldn't meet with WIC clients.
They can't, as a certifier, they can't. So they can't what used to happen, which isn't allowed anymore, is that this person could backfill into the WIC program.
Got it.
Because the funding says thou shalt only do this specific thing, they can't do that. They have to specifically work within the role of peer counselor.
Okay, so it's not that they can't meet with the clients. They can't backfill as a WIC certifier. They can't meet as a WIC certifier. They can only be the breastfeeding peer counselor.
Yes.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that.
And this is helping to resolve.
I was just trying to figure out how a peer counselor can't meet with the peers.
They can meet with them, but not as a certifier.
Yes.
All right.
What's a paraprofessional?
It's only a half professional.
I know.
Or a part professional. That's a good question. Where's that one?
It's in the first sentence of the summary.
It's a term of art. So somebody that works, say, in the medical field, you have a physician. Paraprofessionals are individuals who support that professional level staff.
Okay.
So the para definition that it's for the professional.
Generally speaking, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is a pretty typical term used in equal employment language, and professional denotes a certain amount of education and training necessary to do a job, where paraprofessional is doing work within a similar field but doesn't require the same level of education.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Was this one of the all care positions in the past, or is this just...
No.
Okay.
No, this position went away for a period of time when... we were experiencing a bit of upheaval, and because of how the position was being utilized, this is helping to resolve some discrepancies between state standards and how things are being done.
Okay, which I appreciate for this division. It's been under a microscope, and we need to make sure we're doing everything right as well, as there is risk here as well.
Yes.
Okay. It looks like you're passing something else out right now as well.
I'm just handing it off. I'm stepping on JJ's toes.
Okay. So let's look at the financing your accountant real quick so we can get that done so we can move on to the proposed health reorganization, unless you guys are willing to wait on finance and do the reorganization first.
Nope. Take it where you want to go.
Well, since he's sitting here, let's go to the proposed public health reorganization for fiscal year. Or do you need to be here for that one too?
Yeah, I'm fine, because we've talked about it. So.
Okay. Or do you want to see finance first or this one?
Definitely. I'll be here because there's some other stuff that I'm interested in.
So. I was trying to help you.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not going anywhere for the next little bit, so it's fine.
You can go sit by me if you want.
His color's normal again, so it's a no, I'm just kidding. All right. So you are, he has proposed some changes to organizational structure that will be a cost saving on the general fund, which might pique your interest.
So during the last budget hearing, I had mentioned that we were seeking $361,000. The one that says approved on it, that's for this fiscal year, and you can see in the lower right-hand corner the general fund breakdown request. I'd also said at that budget hearing that I would be looking at over the next year transitioning to a different org structure that would help reduce that overall cost. And this is where we're at right now. All I'm doing is bringing this to you, the proposed budget for the fiscal year 21, because I want to start working towards this so that we won't be seeing any positions. Nobody will be fired. It'll be through attrition or slow transition. So under the approved, this is the org structure that we're operating under. There are four positions that we're looking at getting rid of. Those are in red. And under the proposed, there's three positions in green that we are looking to add.
So one of the ones you're proposing to add is the job description we just
My
approved.
Eyes, yeah.
Yeah, there's the...
Again, green? Find the green ones.
Red and green and colorblind people don't help.
You mean I'm leaning towards blind?
The green, the red's fine, but the green and the black kind of blend together at a glance.
On my computer screen, they were beautifully...
beautifully contrasted.
Yes, it was perfect. The thing IT still in the room will correct that while you're... I found it.
So I crafted this a while ago. The breastfeeding peer counselor was developed and proposed today. It just happened to line up that way.
Okay.
Well, what could be wrong with that?
It looks like a pretty good substantial savings if I'm looking down the bottom
of my
head.
So talk to us about the communicable disease portion, because we went from a part-time nurse or part-time person, our retired person that was coming back working part-time, to now you have two positions?
Yeah, that's for a couple reasons. So on the approved form, you can see where we were at. We had a 0.4 CD nurse that was Kat Metz. She'd been doing it for
a while.
Yeah. She was technically retired, and she came back part-time. She worked long enough that she could have gotten two pieces of the rock. The rock.
Yeah.
So she had a lot of expertise. However, having one individual fill a mandated position was not very conducive to having depth and redundancy in the program. So there were several times where her just taking a vacation was extremely problematic for us. So under this new structure, we're going to have, I'm trying to get away from having the half-time, part-time, and 0.4 nurses. In general, I'd like to have full-time staff. It helps with retention, and frankly, it just makes better use of staff time. So we're going to have one person split their time between communicable disease and home visit. That will allow them to flex, because if we have something like a tuberculosis outbreak, the amount of staff time required to address those kinds of issues is huge. So this will allow them to flex away from doing that home visit and increase their time dedicated to communicable disease. And simply so we have redundancy, a training in communicable disease specialist, this person would not be a nurse, but they would have a level of expertise that would allow them to do a large majority of the work. So they could pick up that role when needed.
Specifically, a lot of the work is investigatory.
Yes.
And nurses, they do assessment, but they don't have to be a nurse to do the investigation.
Yeah, and there's a lot of just rote data entry. In the instance of tuberculosis outbreak, we have a thing called DOT, direct observed therapy, where we actually have to send people to someone's house, sit with them, observe them taking their medication, and leave. So things like that
direct
take a lot
care,
of time, right? But you don't have to have a nurse to do it.
Sure.
But they still speak the language.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I'm just curious. In your approved chart, you have two public health nurses, so a total of two FTEs. Where are they in the proposed?
Shift of job title. So one of the public health nurses is now a home visit / communicable disease nurse, and the other one is a clinic and immunization nurse. It's simply to, when we hire, it can be difficult to help people understand that.
So all care will be providing less?
Nope. They are providing the same. Half-time nurse practitioner and a full-time clinical RN, those are still in the proposed.
Okay, hold on.
It's the dashed lines.
The nurse practitioner moved up, and the registered dietitian
is under maternal child programs.
All right. Interesting. Okay.
The only thing of particular interest here is that nurse practitioner title. We had designated a nursing supervisor, which would have been a part 0.4 position. We already have the candidate. We're waiting to get through credentialing for her certifications. That takes about 90 days. But the individual that's looking to be hired for that is interested in filling that nursing supervisor role. It is an all-care staff, so there's going to be a little bit of a split in responsibilities because they aren't technically county personnel. However, we're talking about managing clinic operations, so that's also where the department specialist in the far right-hand corner for proposed comes in.
Speak to that, please.
So that person is going to be split. A portion of their time will be spent helping the nurse practitioner, because I want that person actually being a nurse practitioner, because they're expensive. So they'll help alleviate some of the administrative burden of filling that nursing supervisor role. And another portion of the time will be spent working directly for me, helping with project tracking and some other administrative stuff I just need help with.
Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming all care is not...
All care...
Their responsibility stays the same as far as employees go.
Yes.
No, we're not adding anything. We're at 0.19 or 0.09, 1.9, excuse me. And it stays the same.
Yes.
Okay.
The only difference is, and this was done quite a while ago, so you don't see the difference on these charts, the nurse practitioner used to be a full-time. But frankly, we just didn't have the workload to justify that.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So my request is merely a thumbs up to begin working towards this new org structure. And, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't point out the general fund request shift in the lower right-hand corner. Just shy of $100,000. Reduction.
Reduction, yeah. I saw that.
Which is always attractive.
I thought it would be.
Well, I appreciate the visual, and I appreciate you thinking of the department as being fluid, that you could change some things to make it more efficient and make employees more retainable.
And it fills in the gaps.
Really good.
Like, say, when you have someone go on vacation, you've got somebody there that can share the load until they get back.
Yes. Yeah. We'll be building into the new job descriptions that, they have to do everything.
Excellent.
So, I'm just looking for a thumbs up, and I'm going to run away as quick as
Nate did.
No objections for me.
There you go.
Thank you much.
Very good.
And
thanks, sir.
And back to our senior accountant in finance.
Yeah, so this is the last job description. Again, this is the last step in the process for filling the position that the finance brought to the board a few weeks back.
So we've already kind of given the blessing to move forward with this, right?
Yeah, it's just codifying the final step in that process.
Okay.
Anything new?
No, it's just, you know, they've already presented and talked about what the role is going to be.
There's not a single thing lined out on that.
What is a COSO framework?
It's basically a structure of control to make sure that you have checks and balances within the financial controls.
Wondering if it should be written out versus COSO. Yeah,
I asked that. Anyone in that field knows what it is.
Okay.
So I actually had to look it up because I didn't know what it was either. But I'm not an accountant. But I did ask finance, is this industry standard? And it is. So
it's a tricky way to make sure they know what they're talking about.
Well, I know it's building in some...
Yeah.
What was the term you used, Nate, as far as move up or kind of filling some stuff?
Yeah.
We've already blessed this, so...
All right.
Looks good.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right.
Come on.
Before we move on to the next one, I would ask for a short break.
No problem.
I need a break.
So we'll just take one.
No.
All right. We're back in session at 10:26. Okay, so our next agenda item is facility services, facilities movement, and work group. And so the board had authorized a work group, and we had asked Annette to head that up as far as kind of from the board's office. And I know that you guys have gotten started and a couple members, so I'll pass it off. Where are we at?
Well, from a facility standpoint, I had a few questions in regards to the work group. It's something new. You know, typically in the past, facilities has brought recommendations forward to the board and then, you know, go forward or change this. So I want to make sure that with the work group that we kind of have a clear objective and also some of the work that's already started from facilities. Where does that go? Is that the plan to just start over on some of this stuff, or are we going to keep marching forward? So I guess that's kind of the main objective for this. Like the DA's move or expansion last September, we dropped them down, started some renovations on the first floor. Are we looking at that whole space? Are we still moving forward with the DA? Should I have work activity stop on that? Those type of things. There's a few questions that I'd like to know in regards to the work group's focus. Do we look at one piece at a time? Do we say, okay, we're going to concentrate on DIMMIC everybody at DIMMIC, we're going to work on this.
Yeah.
Where are they going?
Had you been at some of the meetings, some of those questions would be answered, and I understand you were out on vacation or something like that. So
I never had an invite to any meeting.
We have, but it's one of those things that I can tell you from my standpoint, my hope for the DA's office space is it stops right now, because the bigger thing is that we don't have an overall plan for the whole space. And it might be that when we're looking at the overall plan of where does IT go, what happens if we sell DIMMIC, as somebody else is coming up and looking at that shortly, or as you guys have mentioned, you want to take Arthur's office and turn that into a space. We have legal that has a couple people that aren't housed with legal. As HR expands or this and this and that, when we got together and kind of looked at the whole building as a whole and whose needs are what and where everything is at, that piecemealing and in doing one department at a time is going to lead to that we might have to undo things, we might have to rethink things, there'll be space not utilized. I've had several conversations about the CEGIS stuff and how before we go any further of who's going where, we have to answer those questions. And so from my standpoint, and even talking to the DA's office, because the DA himself, oh, great, move me, I want more space. But if you talk to Cecilia, who's been the office manager for 30 years, she's going, what are we doing? There's having this impact. We need to pause and look at the bigger picture to make sure that we're actually doing the best Tetris game of what fits together, what space and what access. And unfortunately, one of the things of having transition of the board, there was things that were started with facilities that went through a previous liaison that the rest of us aren't even aware of. I didn't know that the courts were told to move out of storerooms up on the ceiling or up on the roof, and they're still scrambling to find space. We got space downstairs.
We never did. Facilities never did that.
Okay.
So I'm not sure where that even came from.
That's what the courts have said. They were advised that they've been told to find other space.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
They've been told they have to vacate.
Who
told them that?
Trina Swaja, the court administrator, has told me that they were told they had to vacate by facilities.
Who did? Who told?
Facilities? No.
That Simon and facilities told them they had to vacate that space.
No, I never.
So
might have got the first part of that right.
So, and all I'm saying is that it made me realize is, first off, what are those plans and stuff that are going on that we as a board are not aware of because it didn't go through the full board? And before we go down the process of moving more people downstairs and potentially cutting off access to other things that have to be done, we need to pause and make a bigger plan of the whole space. So
right.
The first focus was this building. Then we kind of talked about looking at, we talked about phases and we had it outlined, and Annette has that information that the DIMMIC stuff has to be kind of on the backs, being mindful, because depending on what happens with the property, it may come to the front burner, but for right now it's still on the back burner, but being aware of. And then ultimately there's this bigger piece down the road of total facilities countywide. And the potential of what do we do around the fairgrounds of public works and parks and forestry, and search and rescue has been told they need to relocate out of the North Valley Industrial Park. And so kind of bigger picture stuff of a master plan, the DIMMIC property and the impacts of what will happen to public health facilities, building safety planning at some point, which is kind of on a simmer right now until we know what's going. But the immediate is we have another department that's leasing from us that'll be out by the end of the year, and a need to do stuff. And so it was feeling like we're going to just start down this path and go, what if, without a plan? And so had asked that we pause and see if this work group can get a survey of the departments of what are your needs, where do you see yourselves going? Let's make sure we're getting the feedback. What are the potential options with the Justice Building We had a master plan 10 years ago that was based on the courts and sheriff moving out and the police staying, but are there any pieces
and
of
facilities
that?
Facilities didn't really have input in that plan.
Yeah.
And I don't support that plan, maybe pieces of it.
But there isn't a plan right now. And so that was part of saying, let's get this work group going. And because of the time frame of, and I see you, before the end of the year, instead of starting moving pieces without a plan, let's make sure we've looked at all the options of, because one of the options I heard is, well, we can put a new entrance out of the basement over here. Well, what about the old jail space? What if that can be switched around? We've heard the courts say they want their own entrance, and if we move that to the justice building, what would that impact be, and what are the ADA implications, and what are the others? So right now, the composition of the work group, we've asked Annette to head this up, but it got financed because the implications of who's going to pay for what and in the plan overall. You, Helene is our property manager. Stephen is our ADA compliance guy being on it. And Trina as the courts greatly impacting them in all of this as well. And so that we can look at the whole space of the courthouse, the justice building, and be mindful of the CJIS, be mindful of the spaces of whose needs are what, get those surveys of all those departments and try to see what needs to be done. Right. And have you guys come back and make a recommendation of a plan before we have done so far that we can't undo it because the recommendation would maybe be different.
Right, and I think up till now, a lot of things that have happened have just been different people talking and what's actually been approved or being worked on is very a very small piece. And just to back up a little, I wasn't there for the inception of the work group, so I wasn't sure, you know, what the process was. I'm not opposed to it. I know of only one meeting we had, and it was more big picture, talking about the scenic property and those type of things. Anything beyond that, I must have fallen off the list because I was not invited. As far as the DA, that piece we started moving on, the board approved that or agreed to that last September. So that piece is why we've started that renovation.
However, without the rest of the plan in place, that may be something that we got to pause on.
Yeah, and I'm not in disagreement with that. I mean, that's the ultimate goal is let's not do it twice. Let's make sure everything makes sense. But I've also seen over the last few years, ever since the sheriff moved out, is if we throw too much into it, it muddies the water. And then it just becomes an overwhelming task. And I wouldn't want to look at it by department. I think it should be looked at by building. And the main reason for that is there's certain buildings that we can answer some of the questions on who's not going to go there. Like the justice building, for example, would we move public health in underneath courts? That's a question I would need answered before we start on the work group. I would think not.
I don't think you can answer that question until you make a look at the building. For instance, if we look at the when we pulled the master plan out, one of the things you look at is the justice building construction in the basement. You have a sally port that's continuing to be used. And I've been told there's an elevator that needs to be replaced or repaired that is an ongoing concern for the courts and that they use regularly. But how much of that lower level has to remain in the format that it used to be? Because there's almost three sections, or two sections per se. You got the portion of the justice building that's below the former sheriff's office and where the locker rooms and the old EOC and that those
the detectives area.
Correct. That portion. And then it's cut off from the former jail portion that is turned into storage and some other stuff like that. And
but it feels like we're getting off into the weeds a little bit. I want to get back to process and
I want to get back to the very beginning of this thing.
And you had a hand up.
We're talking about, this door handle and that lock and so on and so forth. I just think that it's valuable to know what the big picture is, but I agree with what we have a facilities director that knows whether there's phone jacks down there or whatever. He's the first base, not
last days.
And I can tell you, he's never been intended to be out of it. You were on vacation.
This is really sound that it should have all been put on hold until he gets back. So it is now. But I don't, it's going to sound really cold, but I don't care whether Susie wants a window seat or not.
I'm not
really care. Well, I hear about this, and then this one tells me that, and I got a phone call from over here. This is not customization of their workplace. This isn't how this works. We have a facility here, and it's limited as to what we can put in and where we can put where. I get it that we've got a lot moving. There's probably more dynamics in Josephine County and movement coming up than ever before. And with the prison contract out there at the racetrack, that just complicated it even worse. But that is one separate part of it. Everything we have up here on Dimmick, that's another part of it. Where do you put these people? I haven't seen, you've got a layout in your mind about how all that works at the Justice Building, because that's your house. You've lived there. None of the rest of us have. I would like to see a set of plans. However, I'm not going to go over there and tell the facilities director, I want Ruth here and Edith there and Susie there, when they don't fit
in. That's not what I'm talking about.
Keep us from micromanaging here.
Dan, this isn't micromanaging. This is realizing that nobody else was bringing up topics that needed to be brought up. For instance, we're going to put the DA in the whole first floor of the Justice Building. Okay, what are you going to do with the basement? We have dead space. Oh, we can put anyone down there. No, you can't. Because I know the building, I know there's back access to the courts and the DA. So you can't just put anyone in the basement because of CJIS compliance. And why do I am one person of five in the county that know about CJIS? Because I was a CJIS rep. And not everybody knows about CJIS. So all of a sudden, when bringing it up, it's like, so now what are we going to do? Well, we're going to punch a hole in the wall. Is that the best thing? Or should we pause and say, let's make a plan for, based on the space, what fits best of who can go where and who can be behind who and who can be accessed with what? Because I can tell you, if we lose our CJIS clearance for the district attorney, for the dispatch, for all this other kind of stuff, it's going to have a whole big world of hurt. So it's not just facilities that we're worried about. There's access and other stuff that is impacted. IT needs to be moved. They said, let's just put them here. Well, there's no way they can get deliveries there. So let's stop moving people, and let's stop and just say real quickly, let's look at what do we have and what can we do and what plan needs to be made so we can make a recommendation before we have vacant space this fall.
I just want our facilities guy to be in at every conversation, not brought in. We've got this all figured out, and now you're going to tell us how to do it. I want him at the forefront of it, not the tail end of it.
Well, and if I could, we're at a spot where we need the group to have all the information and start recommending priorities, which is the first one. Come back to the board and say, hey, this is what we think. What do you guys think? And we're not going to solve the space problem in this meeting, but we need to get that group, the people they need on it, which I totally agree, facilities needs to be there. And I'm sure that was where Annette was headed. But we just have to deal with what's in front of us, and it's only this Justice Building that's making us do anything.
Correct. And that's where we're starting.
Right, and that it could be thought out. We just need to get started on it, and we should have started a few months ago.
And part of the issue is that there's still work going on in the meantime, why there's not a plan. So it's like the work needs to stop.
Yeah.
Until there's an actual plan. And just 2 weeks ago, it was brought to my attention that there's elevator issues I wasn't aware of.
Well,
when you have somebody stuck in an elevator on their way to court.
But it may take meeting once a week to get this thing jump-started.
That's not what I was told by the courts, that we had an inmate
that's
stuck in the elevator.
Not true.
And we're told that elevator is going away and not going to be replaced. And so that brings up the question, where did that decision get made?
A lot of this is just people
just
talking.
And that's why we got stuck in the order to move all the records out of the penthouse.
We had a case where the elevator delayed opening. The doors delayed for, I think it was almost 30 seconds before they opened. I don't consider that stuck in the elevator. If somebody's stuck in the elevator, there's an emergency phone.
I've been stuck in an elevator. Had to use the phone.
I mean, that's not a fun thing. I mean, I wouldn't want it to happen. And we have service contracts and people to take care of that in-house as well. So, I've heard rumors of that. That didn't happen. There is an update that needs to be done to the jail elevator. That's what we call it. And it's only used for basically transportation of inmates up to the floors. Do we want to put $100,000 into this elevator, or do we want to change policy? That's something that is another conversation about equipment. What we've worked on so far is what the board has approved as far as moving the DA or letting him expand into the first floor. So that was one of my questions. The DA, regardless of what his office staff or support staff may say, he requested 75% and potentially more of the first floor.
And I don't remember that coming before the full board, but if it did...
September of last year.
Yeah, but if it did, it didn't have the conversation of what are the impacts if that happens on the basement or the rest of it, and what does it cut off anybody else from any further expansion if that happens?
And I think what goes along with that, and we've just kept it, and the only thing that was agreed to was the sheriff's old area. There was the rest of the first floor, there was no agreement, so that work and that expansion took place just in the sheriff's old area, per se. And that's because he had no place to put anybody, so we had to do something. So those are the only type of things that have actually taken place, and some preliminary work for maybe a more expansion. But one of the decisions is, are we going to allocate more space to courts? If he was to move down, what happens to upstairs? Mm-hmm. Do we say, okay, courts, we're going to give you all the second floor? So those are the kind of things that I have questions about before we get started on the work group. Also, is SOCOM, the sheriff, is he moving over to the other building? Are we dealing with the whole footprint? Are we dealing with the second floor? We don't have those answers. Are we willing to spend the money to renovate the jail? The old jail, mm-hmm. You know,
and that's
we're starting
I think to talk
multi-million
to talk
dollar
about all
projects.
Of that.
So what is the path that we want to be looking at? Are we trying to keep the studs in place, or are we looking at, you know, high dollar renovations to move people around?
I think that all of it has to be looked at, and that there be a recommendation of, if this were to happen, this is what this cost would be, and this is the potential of how much more space we'd have. If this were to happen, this is the limits of the studs staying in place, and this is how your limitations because of that. If the courts want the whole space, can they, and get a single point of entry at the justice building? Or does that not meet ADA compliance and we have to rethink something else there too, because you have to have elevators in so many feet or this, this, and that? So there's conversations we've had of, oh, we'd like to do that, but this is why there's a work group, because we don't want to have to make all those decisions. And here's the thing. It can't be before the workplace starts. That's what the work force is supposed to be talking about, those issues, and saying, here's our options, and bring those back to the board, and we say, yes, we're going to say go down that place. And that's why Helene's on the committee. That's why Annette's there for our representation. ADA is getting represented there. Finance and looking at the cost. And you
courts
is what's
is
been
in there.
There
too,
and
right?
We added courts because right. What's the implications? One of the recommendations was, what if the entire justice building became the courts? And we cut off the courthouse from the justice building, and the courts take all three floors at the... That's one of the options somebody
and I
recommended.
I think that goes way beyond a work group that we're going to put together. I mean, there's professionals that deal with this type of thing
I understand.
A full-time basis at hundreds of dollars an hour.
But let's have the work group talk first and just say, this is what these steps would be, and talk through that stuff, and then bring that back to the board and say, this is what you're looking at if you look at that option. This is what you're looking at if you want to go down that option. This is what you're looking at if you do this simple process. Because so far, that hasn't been brought to the board.
I think but
that's also pushing the scope of the work group, though. Because if we're just going to move around and not move walls and just consider the space we have and maybe changing locks on doors, that's one thing. But if you're talking about changing access points, adding elevators, then you got to look at the efficiency of that, and that group's not going to be able to scope the cost of that.
No.
That's going to take some help. But it's almost small enough you think you can do it. If we were talking about the rest of the stuff, Dimmick and Public Works and all that, then we might have a
And it wasn't saying scope the cost.
Level,
it's
yeah.
saying if you did this, then you would take it to this consultation level. You take it to this engineer level. You take it to this, this, and that. And it started right. with Ryan saying, we'll punch a new entrance in the side of the basement in the library parking lot if we can access the basement. Okay, well, what about this space? So what all is on the table of what we can look at?
And that was just general conversation.
I
far
hear
as
you,
there's
but
numerous ways to deal with sieges and
yeah.
entrance and exit.
But best use of space, knowing that IT needs a home, knowing that other stuff has to go, that before we keep moving and going down a path of DA's office is going to take up the full first floor, let's look at the whole space and see what's the best fit.
Yep. I'm so, not arguing with yeah. you. I think we do need to.
Can we, the first question that we can ask, can we ask the state how far down the road we are at getting a new courthouse? I'd hate to go put all this in. The farther you go down in that building over there, any building, the closer you get to the ground, the more structural. You don't just go in, I better knock that wall out, put another wall. It's probably bearing. As soon as the farther it gets down from fresh air, the more bearing that thing becomes. You go, I'm going to go down and knock this out. Because
well,
I
that was my concern and about knocking out walls.
And that doesn't work in most cases.
Yeah.
But I want to know, if we were number six a while back, and I don't know where...
Sixth on the biennium, which meant a minimum of 12.
Minimum of 12. So how much money do we dump into this building when in 10 years it's going to go away?
So it's not going away, and here's why.
I want to know the answer to that question.
Can I answer your question?
Yes, you can.
The state courthouse replacement requires a 50% match through local bond. So if you can tell me that in 12 years this community will vote for a bond to pay for 50% of a new courthouse, Lane County was number one, and their bond went down in November. They're not getting a courthouse because the local voters said no. So it doesn't matter where we are in the list of the biennium list, that every biennium gets reassessed without a local bond to say support it. And the tenor of our community right now, with a new water plant, with schools being built, with a new library, with all this other kind of stuff.
Underfunded sheriff.
We are looking at needing to make do where we are for quite a while to go. The courts yeah. have asked for another courtroom. That is something they have asked for, another courtroom. And so we know that's something they're wanting us to accommodate. They would be willing to take over the old DA's office space. However, what's that mean for entrance and access and all that other? The other thing, at every single court security meeting, they say we want a single point of access and we want a secure access point where we can go through security. So at some point we're thinking, great, we can give them the whole top floor and then they can have that. But then it was brought up that that brings up another problem, which is ADA access, and you'll need an elevator somewhere else to egress an ingress or whatever for ADA compliance. So then that took the conversation of, well, what if instead of them taking the whole floor, they took the whole building and they cut that off and they have their single access point? Well, that's a huge renovation and a huge cost, and could it even happen? So again, these are how those conversations go, with just a simple, would they take the top floor? Well, do they get their single access point? And this is why the work group, and instead of me directing the work group, it's pass it off. And let, you know, the people that need to weigh in on those conversations, get a survey of the departments of what are your needs, get a, you know, all this kind of stuff, so we can plan once and move once and make the best use of the space. If we're not getting that courthouse in 12 years because it takes a local bond, what do we need to do?
Well, and it still seems like we're making it harder than it needs to be. We just need to get that committee together, and it may, like I said, it may take once a week to get you out of the gates because we're in a hurry now.
Yeah.
Because that building's getting vacated in a few months. But I just think we need to.
He should be the first point of contact. Yep. Not everybody put their wish list together and hand it to Ryan.
So, Dan, he's one piece of it, though, and I appreciate that, but I'm sorry. I put the first meeting together and said, it was one of those things. I was told you were gone, and I didn't know you were gone. We were trying to get a hold of you. Then there was a next meeting we invited, and you were gone two more days. So it's not that we're trying to leave you out of it, but here's the point.
I'm confused by that, because I'm the easiest person to get a hold of in the county.
Okay, so you weren't here. You were on the road.
You can get a hold of me. You've called me on my cell phone.
And why would I call you on your cell phone on a vacation over getting a meeting established to say, here's a scope, folks. that you guys are going to be discussing later. And so then you guys get together. Now you have those discussions. I'm not directing those discussions. I'm passing it off to the group. And they have had no conversations yet without you in that scope. And so here's the thing. Sheriff's office moving, you guys have to weigh in on that. Because IT and us did a lot of work with the police department moving and our EOC and all that going over there. Sheriff came back and said, I don't want to move my dispatch. So, but at some point, they may want to move. So we've put infrastructure across the street. So when they do move, but when does that decision get made? That's something that the group will need to make a conversation. You know, who's the right conversation to have that with the sheriff over we're holding up space in a building where there's no intention for him to stay there long term, potentially, or maybe there is, but there's work that IT is doing, that communications is doing, that facilities is doing, and who makes that decision? Ultimately, it's the board's decision of who goes where.
And there's a lot of conversations taking place on who's moving where, and they're not going to move, and nobody's relaying it back to facilities.
Exactly.
Or to the committee.
Or to the committee.
Right. Facilities is going to be the first stop, not the last stop. Not just, okay, we've decided as a committee, without Ryan in the room, we decided this is what we're going to do, just make it happen. And it isn't a magic wand.
Yet. And then, the committee hasn't met yet.
But some of these questions would kind of simplify the process. Like, if we're telling the DA, he's already expanded into the first floor. So he does not have enough room to just say, okay, we're going to stop that. He's got
to
do day-to-day business. So regardless of if the city moves out, I mean, the amount of space that they're in, it doesn't really, you know, we're talking 5,000 square feet on the big picture of the county. That doesn't bring panic to me in a hard-pressed deadline. I think, you know, the DA needs to keep maintaining his function. We need to look at the big picture, for sure. But the same reasons, you know, we're not going to build a new courthouse. How big do we really want to look at it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to spend millions of dollars to do certain things.
To
so we need to narrow it down on
the
work group.
And a timeline as to what which is up first, DA. I'm hearing.
No,
I keep hearing
that. We can't do anything else till the police move out anyhow.
We can talk it to
months.
Death.
Yeah.
We're doing a pretty
so
good job
so
far.
You've got a basement space. The DA can go in the basement and a portion of the first floor, and then we can use the rest of the first floor for all the other departments we need. And then you don't have a CJIS issue because it's contained to those stairwells controlled by DA and courts.
I know.
Can't answer that.
But we keep devolving into the what-ifs and what-cans.
That's what the group needs to decide.
We need to decide that the group is going to have a great recommendation at some point about what should happen, and then we can have something to actually chew over.
That's why I don't think we
and
should move any further.
On the Justice Building.
Yeah, have it focused on the Justice
Building. That's the kind of thing I'm looking for.
It has to be our floors, too, because finance...
Well, I mean, justice and courts are together, so
right.
We can't think of that building without this.
But we're not going to look at the Dimmick property and public health, because then
we're not looking at moving public works right now.
Because that's not the highest priority, right? You guys can do that next spring.
Well, can I make a comment on that, though?
Yes.
If we sell that property up there, where are we supposed to go? Can you put a pause on the sale of at least our side?
We'll have to tell them to wait a year. This is another conversation Mark and I started with.
I'm going to throw this out for just later, but the Watermelon, they want three offices. They want to join in with community development. They want space. We're talking about selling this piece of property that I think would be viable for a community development center, even if we take this building, renovate it, or build a new building, what have you. But to sell this right now, where do we go?
Carve that off. Sell the old hospital
exactly.
Side.
Exactly.
Right.
Sell the hospital
at
side.
Pause.
Keep this.
Yeah.
At least pause.
Do we have anybody looking at that right now?
And I would think construct here and then change this to parking.
Construct here.
You keep working.
So keep working. Maybe a secure yard over here. Maybe a park right there.
I think we're getting way, way, way off topic.
Well, I'm saying if you're going to pause the sale on that.
Yeah, right, there's a lot of hot-button issues throughout the county.
Hold on, and this is part of why when it's more than just do we move the DA's office and why a work group needs to do a survey of all departments of what those needs are and the potential impact, and we look at I put it into three phases. What's our right now have to deal with? We know IT needs a home. And it needs to be able to receive deliveries. And their CJIS and all this other kind of stuff. Now, they don't have the CJIS restriction, but they do. You do have the CJIS restriction. So the immediates, the right behind it is what happens with Dimmick. And we do have a group coming to look next week. And that. So, and then there's the bigger overall master plan of the county.
To me.
It shouldn't be.
Well, this is what I found out. That's why I'm saying.
Well, yeah, they sell it. The previous board said it, so they've been actively selling it.
No.
But I'd keep in mind that.
We have somebody coming to look.
That we might want to shave
up. That means that there's a group coming down to look. We've had multiple groups come down to look.
Sure.
It's for sale. It doesn't mean anything.
And we don't need to know there's a group coming to look. We need to know what the result of that meeting was.
Right.
Yeah.
I think if we can just keep the work group focused on maybe, like you said, the courthouse justice building, and we focus on that, and then we say, okay, next meeting we're going to talk about Dimmick. Let's not go into the meeting and, you know, just be all over the place. Have the board kind of correct us.
Put an agenda.
We already gave them instruction to start with the courthouse and justice building and IT.
I hear you, but
we also have a liaison that the board already said is going to head this work group who could give you answers.
Well, and
instead of bypassing and coming to board to say, are you undoing what we've already recommended?
Well, this is something new to me, and typically facilities is kind of the leader in facilities.
And what's new to us to have an executive office manager who we're asking to help with some projects and such.
I think that's great.
So when we have somebody that we've said, get a group together and have this conversation. She starts to have the group, and it turns around and bypasses, and let's go to the BCC, and I want to control the group.
That's not what I'm saying. No. I'm not saying I want to control the group.
No.
I think the group's a good idea. I'm just asking that the board give the group direction.
Yeah, we did.
Exactly.
We did say start with the courthouse and justice building, being mindful that Dimmick could happen at any time, but that's not the highest priority. Right now is IT, courthouse and justice building.
I don't remember that conversation.
I don't either.
Board let's have that conversation. And I think we all identify the justice building, courthouse as the priority because the police are moving. And then.
And IT, because we already said
there's
spaces.
Because that one's already.
And Mark brings up a very good, valid point that this probably needs to be the next lookout.
Right, that needs to be a consideration when promoting the property.
This isn't my first time going through a process like this, and I'm very concerned talking about, here's our priorities, we're going to look at this first. We need to have a global plan. We need to have a facilities master plan. Before we look at the building we're moving into first, we have to know where everybody's going, because we run the same issue with our animal shelter. There was a need. They said, this is our meeting need. We're going to look at this first. They put a building in, and not only was a building in a Fokker quote it was used for, but it was put in a location that precludes us from being able to utilize additional areas of the property. If we move somebody in there because we're in a rush to move somebody into that area, into that building, we may lose an opportunity to position ourselves better later. We need to have a global view of where things are going before we move anything. Right now, we're all thrust, no vector, and that's a huge concern for me.
This is why we put up on a whiteboard, or I put up on a whiteboard, looking at all the things that are potential moving at any point and wanting. I thought when we had approved a master plan that that was what was going to happen. And so I met with Arthur, and I said, what's the master plan? He said, oh, it's just capital projects. Okay, that's not what I thought the board had approved. I thought we were coming up with a master facilities discussion because of what was going to go on around the fairgrounds and search and rescue and public works and all that other kind of stuff and with public health. And then there's the library that may move out in 5 years. And he said, oh, I didn't even know about all those pieces. And then we have the DA's office wanting to move, and it's like, well, what's that going to keep from happening if we do? So the idea was, let's have the group talk about phases, overall picture. Do we need to have a master consultation? But in the meantime, there's some things that are going to happen soon, and we have to have a plan for that.
Yeah. So as a department head, I'll say this and then sit down, but my concern is, you know, there's very specific needs, and every department has them.
Mm-hmm.
And there hasn't been any engagement on what those needs are for
us. She was going to be working with the committee on their first meeting to develop a survey to send out to every department head to get exactly what spatial needs and specifics of your department, storage, personnel, vehicles, access, all that kind of stuff. So we're going to start with a survey of department heads, and not just this building, all department heads, so we know what all pieces have to be thought of globally, and then let's prioritize which ones happen in a certain order.
I think the department heads have to be involved. You know, they know their function of their department obviously better than anybody.
And that's where that's
future function. We also don't want a department head deciding how big an office is going to be.
No.
You know, there's formulas for that, and that's where you bring in facilities or a consultant for a global picture, which I would
and agree, Ryan,
to do the big picture item, you need that piece.
That's why you'll find that at that first committee meeting, that's what Annette was going to be leading, is saying, let's get these questions. So how many personnel you have? Because our facilities knows how much workspace is needed per personnel. What is your storage capacity need? Because what's unique to your department for electronic versus paper files? What's unique to your office for vehicles or other stuff? What is unique to your department? But it's not to bring every department head into the committee and be steering the car. It's that you guys gather that information, and then you as a facilities and you as property management say, well, this is what that needs if they got this personnel. Or, but I need clinic space, and this is what that requires. That first meeting with the committee was going to ask those questions and do that. So, and I apologize, but at one point you guys had said I can kind of have some conversations, and this is where I was starting them with going, and I had your blessing kind of. Mm-hmm. And so it's not that I'm trying to leave you all out. It was trying to give direction for the work group to come back to us, but not trying to leave anybody out. But all these, let's ask these questions, was the direction for the first meeting and has been addressed that would get there. If you trust the process and realize we're not trying to leave you out of anything, and you are a vital part of that meeting, and
I would have liked to have been at the table when it was initially discussed, since it's a facilities program.
You haven't.
Then I wouldn't.
They
be
haven't had the first meeting yet.
No, when the board had the meeting.
So Ryan, all then, we said is we need to make a plan. Let's pull a work group together to get a plan. And the first meeting is coming up next week because they're waiting for you to get back. Instead, you bypass and said, I got to get this before the board so I can make sure this is steered the right way.
I didn't bypass anybody. I wanted to get clear direction about facilities.
We gave clear direction to the person we said to head up the work group. Okay? That's my point.
That wasn't the information I was given.
Well, again, that's rumor mill.
Because I talked to Dan, I talked to Dan, Darren, and I would have met with you. You were out of town as well. And that was my question.
With concerns.
But based on what they had, I had gotten permission to have a couple meetings. And the first was with Arthur because he was going to be doing the master plan. But then I found out it wasn't the master plan. And from there, it's like, can we have the work group head up by now? Yes, we can do that. So this was direction given. I appreciate that, but it's one of those
it
things.
It just sounded like we needed to have a meeting once I talked to Darren and Dan. And like I said, I would have talked to you as well. If I would have got the same feedback, I would have said, okay.
Yeah, but
I'm gonna go
they had designated me to talk to a couple people. And maybe that was forgotten or maybe that wasn't clear. But in that first meeting, you are a part of the very first meeting the work group is going to have. It hasn't met yet.
Well,
we did have a...
that was separate.
I am learning what the makeup of the work group is today.
Yes, but you had already designated me to start something up.
Okay, start a work group. But this is the first time hearing about it. And all of a sudden, it's, well, we're going to move this here, that, there. And facilities doesn't know anything about it because he's not back yet.
And there
so let's just
anything.
Stop. Let's stop and start all over again.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay? We're going to get the work group put together. The goals and the guidelines and the responsibilities of the work group are going to be laid out at that first meeting with everybody present.
Okay. Yep.
And then we'll go on from there. Annette will head up the work group and put it together, the likes of what it'll be. And then go from there. But right now, we're not going to get anywhere, and it's 11 o'clock, and it's approaching my noon feeding, and which I won't give up.
And I think we're getting nowhere, arguing back and forth. I think there's already, I don't want this thing to start out on the wrong foot. Because right. it'll never get into cadence if it doesn't.
Let's start, everybody back off vacation.
Let's start all over again. Yeah. And let's work at this thing collectively so we can get a good product.
I agree.
If we start out in conflict between board members and committee members and facilities
as a board, when we say we have a work group and Annette's going to head it up, and she starts putting the pieces together and tries to schedule, if every time that happens as a board that we say, Annette, go do a project, we want you to go do this and bring it up, and individual department heads say, I'm not going to do that until I talk individually to every board member, there's going to be a problem.
I think it would be very helpful to have a description, as JJ brings us, a job description for everything that's there. I think the description of the work group needs to be the first starting point. What is this work group going to do? And who's on?
And they haven't even had a first meeting yet.
Exactly. But so that's fine, but it seems like there's an awful lot of questions and stuff that have been, where's the entrance going to be and who needs UPS and all that. That is for the work group. That's not for us.
That's why the work group's there, because all those questions came up. It can't just keep going without it. So, again, if the board says we want a work group to look at it.
And then I want to, the next step is, what is the work group going to be and who's comprised of it? And what is their goal going to be?
This meeting was valuable to get that thing started, because you guys need to know your charge. And I think part of it should be whether to consider to... It's too big an ask. We need to have a consultant.
Right.
Because if the work group sees that immediately, then let's get it started sooner.
Right.
If we're going to look at the whole 30,000-foot view, we are all over the place with property and services, and that's going to be difficult for people who already have a job to try and get together and address.
A survey developed to get exactly what is every department looking at of what their needs are. Mark, when you're asked on the survey, what's that mean if the water master needs three more spaces? Include that in your answer. You know, and that's going to be something the work group needs to put out there, is saying, we understand what you are today, but what do you see forthcoming in the next couple years that you have to grow into? Because we're not looking to move people 20 times. So,
Annette, if you could let us know what your snapshot of the work group chart.
Right now?
I'd love to hear. You don't need to do it right now, because it's
after your group
meets.
Okay. I think.
Yeah. Well, you know,
so in the next day or so.
I'm on vacation till next week.
Okay. So the next when you get back from vacation, I'd like to know what it.
And it started with a simple
what
question
your
of
view
the
is
DA's
of what
office
the work
move, and we realize you can't deal with one without looking at the whole.
I didn't come to this meeting to create a roadblock. I just wanted clear direction and understanding.
Yeah. I think that's good. I think we have clarified it. Some. I'm sure it's not all.
But I also, I think it's important to understand, though, if you get an email from our executive office manager saying the board asked me to put a meeting together, please come do it. You come do it and you see what it's about before you come and have to meet with us all individually and call a meeting of the board to make sure that your direction is not different than our employee that we said to do something.
But this is all part of defining the new role of this executive office manager, and so I don't think we need to put such intensity on this process while we're trying to figure out how this is going to work.
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
So I offered to have Ryan come. I talked a little bit to Ryan about this, and I wanted him to have an opportunity to talk to the board about this, because he wasn't at the last meeting that happened. So that's kind of how this started. I just wanted him to be able to talk, get direction himself, to kind of understand what we're doing since he wasn't here.
Yeah, it was just kind of a handoff or a molding point, per se, of the whole moving and facilities, not to question.
But I understand you have something that you kind of were working on about movement, too?
Yeah, well, we did have start on a consolidation study with my former liaison, but that was also starting to be steered in a certain way, and so that's when we basically tabled it.
Right. It was towards the end of that, and we thought, you know what, we're going to have a fresh look at this after the first of the year.
So is that information that you can bring to the work group and maybe might be a starting off point?
The data itself I can share, as far as, you know, square footage and those type of things. But the idea is I wouldn't want to get people going down that path. I think the idea to have a fresh start and a fresh outlook, I think, is great. And to have it come from a whole work group, I think, is a good idea.
And I really like the members of the work group because it gives so many different views from it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Helene, if we need to buy or sell, you know, property, and you're the expertise in the facilities, and Steve with the ADA, you know, and everybody here has a vital part in, I think, different aspects that would be helpful.
Yeah, I think the composition of the work group is great. And then I think if we start zeroing in on a certain area, then we bring that department head in. Say we're focused on IT moving or building, then we make sure we have them at the table, or public health, you know, we go that route.
Okay.
Or we bring a consultant, depending on the big picture.
So I'm thinking next Wednesday afternoon. I don't know if everybody's off the top of their head available.
Yeah,
okay. We can get that sorted out later as far as the scheduling and stuff.
Okay.
But wanting to make sure that it's moving forward, we do have some time frames, including we've heard from the juvenile department that the CAC and needing to move and remodel can't till IT moves. So finding, you know, again, bigger picture, realizing there's some earlier deadlines than later deadlines. And yeah, there may be.
Do we have a deadline for that?
As soon as possible is the deadline.
Okay.
Yeah, really. Okay. They are the ones that ask first, so to speak.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's move on in the agenda. We all have other things going as well. Thank you guys for
Thanks,
your time.
Thanks, you.
I don't imagine there's other business, but the last one is board matters from commissioners.
No.
No.
Okay, so with that fun discussion, it's 11:14, and we are adjourned.
Perfect.